Welcome to the Healthcare GTM Series podcast by Medic Prospects, your weekly podcast for insights on healthcare marketing, sales, and industry trends. Every Tuesday, we bring you practical marketing ideas, outreach strategies, sales tips, and expert discussions to help healthcare businesses generate better results and stay ahead in the industry. Whether you're in healthcare marketing, medical sales, healthcare technology, or business development, this podcast is designed to share actionable strategies that help you grow smarter. So plug in your headphones and join us every Tuesday for a new episode of the Healthcare GTM Series podcast by Medic Prospects. Let's transform healthcare marketing together.
I'm really excited to get into this one today. It's a massive topic.
It really is. And, you know, whether you are actively trying to fix your own outreach strategy right now, or, you know, maybe you're just fascinated by the psychology behind business communication, why some messages land perfectly while others just kind of vanish, this deep dive is custom tailored for you.
Yeah, exactly. Because the reality out there is pretty harsh right now.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Today, we're pulling from a really fascinating source text. It's an excerpt titled Smarter Outreach, Solving the Healthcare Email Dilemma. And our main mission here today is to unpack exactly why the old, you know, the batch and blast mass email methods are completely dead in the healthcare space.
Dead and buried. I mean, the failure rates we're seeing with modern healthcare email marketing are just astronomical if you're still using those old playbooks.
Right. And more importantly, we're going to explore the specific strategic shifts you actually need to make if you want to get a response from some of the most, well, overwhelmed professionals on the entire planet.
Overwhelmed is almost an understatement for these folks.
Okay, let's unpack this because there is a genuinely painful irony here that we have to talk about. I mean, imagine a marketing team, right? They spend weeks, literally weeks, on this brand new outreach campaign.
Oh, I've seen it 100 times.
They're agonizing over these beautiful HTML email designs. They're, you know, tweaking every word of clever copy. They go out and they buy what they think is this fresh, pristine database of contacts.
And they're so proud of it, too.
Exactly. They load it all up. They hit send. The team is high-fiving around the office. And then
just absolute silence.
Crickets. Nothing.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, like, why? What is actually happening on the other side of that send button?
Well, to understand that, you really have to step directly into the shoes of the person receiving the email.
Mm.
I mean, the healthcare landscape has fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
The professionals receiving these messages are dealing with a level of cognitive overload that is just, it's hard for anyone outside the industry to fully grasp.
So what does that actually look like for them?
Take a hospital administrator, for example.
Yeah.
You know, they aren't just sitting at their desk waiting for someone to pitch them software. They are actively managing these razor-thin operational budgets. They're dealing with massive staffing shortages.
Right, or think about the IT leaders in these hospitals. They aren't just doing routine maintenance on employee laptops.
Oh, not at all.
They are laser-focused on cybersecurity. They're constantly fighting off, you know, sophisticated ransomware attacks, making sure patient data is safe, preparing for HIPAA compliance audits. It's relentless.
It is relentless. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the modern healthcare buyer's default mode is essentially self-defense against noise.
Self-defense. I like that phrasing.
Yeah, because when a generic sales email drops into their inbox, they aren't ignoring it because your product is necessarily bad.
Yeah.
That's a huge misconception. Marketers think, oh, they hated my software.
Right. They take it personally.
Exactly. But really, the message is ignored because it completely lacks relevance to their agonizing daily grind. The inbox is basically a triage center for them.
A triage center. You know, I was thinking about this while reading the source material, and I came up with an analogy. It's like, imagine a chaotic, overflowing emergency room.
Okay, picture that.
Doctors and nurses are sprinting down the halls. Monitors are blaring. Everyone is stressed out trying to manage a literal life or death crisis. And then a salesperson just casually strolls through the double doors with a megaphone.
Oh, man.
They click it on and just announce, attention, everyone. We have a great sale on administrative software. We are the industry's leading provider.
Yeah, the reaction there wouldn't be curiosity. It would be pure hostility. They would call security immediately to have that person physically removed from the hospital.
Exactly. Because it's so disruptive and completely tone deaf to the environment, they offer zero immediate value to the people in that room trying to solve actual emergencies.
And healthcare buyers do the exact same thing digitally. They just tune it out or delete it for their own survival. They have absolutely zero patience for what our source text calls marketing language.
Marketing language, like, yeah, all those flashy buzzwords.
Exactly. They genuinely do not care if you claim your platform is cutting edge or if you brand yourself as the leading provider. In fact, In healthcare, those empty adjectives act as a massive red flag.
Wait, a red flag? Because every company wants to position itself as the best, right? Why is that uniquely bad in healthcare?
It comes down to the DNA of the industry itself. Healthcare is fundamentally driven by evidence. It's driven by data, by peer-reviewed results. You're dealing with scientists, doctors, clinical researchers.
Highly educated, data-driven professionals.
Right. So when a clinical manager reads an email packed with marketing speak and empty claims, it actively damages your credibility. It basically signals, hey, this sender doesn't understand my world.
Because in their world, any claim you make has to be backed up by hard data or clinical trials.
Precisely. What they're actually looking for are solutions to hyper-specific problems, like how to reduce administrative charting burdens so nurses can get back to the bedside, or how to automate a really complex compliance workflow.
So if you lead with marketing fluff, instead of solving that specific pain point, they just trash it.
In a fraction of a second.
Which means the only way to actually capture their attention is through hyper-specific relevance. The source text makes it very clear that role-based personalization is just completely non-negotiable.
It is the absolute baseline now.
Because, I mean, a hospital CFO has vastly different priorities compared to a clinical manager, right? The CFO is looking at the bottom line. They care about ROI and risk mitigation.
Right, keeping the hospital financially afloat.
But the clinical manager is looking at patient outcomes, ease of use for the staff, reducing nurse burnout. You can't just send them the same generic message.
If you try to send a mass-produced message that speaks to both of those realities, it will resonate with neither. It'll just look like a generic blast. You have to tailor the rhetoric, the evidence, and the specific value to their role.
Wait, role-based personalization makes sense, but isn't that exhausting for a marketing team? How do you balance speaking to a CFO versus a clinical manager without basically running two entirely different companies?
Yeah, I know it sounds overwhelming. It definitely requires a lot more upfront strategy. But you aren't changing your underlying product. You're just changing its functional utility for that specific user.
Okay, tell me more. How does that work in practice?
Think of your product like a Swiss Army knife. The tool itself is always the same.
Right.
But you don't hand a CFO the corkscrew when they desperately need the pliers.
Yeah. I see.
When you speak to the CFO, you pull out the specific attachment that solves their financial emergency. You talk about cost savings and operational efficiency.
Yeah.
When you speak to the clinical manager, you pull out the blade that cuts through administrative red tape.
So you're just translating the value, not reinventing the tool.
Exactly. The alternative is just blasting out a picture of a closed Swiss Army knife to everyone and, you know, hoping they figure out how to open it themselves. And they won't.
They don't have the time.
Right. So the effort to personalize by role is just non-negotiable.
But, and this is the really terrifying reality here, you could write that flawless role-based masterpiece, right? You pull out the exact right tool for the CFO. No fluff, hyper-relevant, beautifully written.
Yep.
And the CFO will still never see it. Because before you even worry about the psychology or the perfect copywriting, you have to beat the mechanics of delivery.
Yes. The silent campaign killer. Data decay.
It's brutal. The source text highlights that relying on outdated or unverified contact information is a massive problem, especially because the healthcare sector is so volatile right now.
Extremely volatile. Roles are shifting constantly.
Entire departments are restructuring. Regional hospitals are merging into larger networks. I mean, up to 30% of your contact list from last year might already be gone. You're literally sending emails to ghosts.
And what's fascinating here is how often marketers completely misdiagnose this specific failure.
Really? How so?
Well, a campaign launches, and it completely tanks, right? So the marketing team sits in a conference room, agonizing over the subject line. They rewrite the copy, assuming their messaging was just weak. They blame the pricing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They are completely oblivious to the fact that their brilliantly written emails never even reached the buyer's inbox in the first place. The email providers, Google, Microsoft, the hospital's internal firewalls, just quietly routed those messages straight to spam. Or bounce them entirely.
Just because the sender used unverified data?
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because it's not just about that one single email failing to go through. Think about it like writing a perfectly personalized, beautiful letter, but addressing it to a hospital wing that was demolished 3 years ago.
That is exactly what it's like.
And the post office doesn't just throw away that one piece of mail. If you relentlessly keep sending hundreds of letters to a demolished building, the post office starts to categorize you as a spammer who has absolutely no idea what they're doing.
Right. In the digital world, that post office is the receiving email server. email providers constantly monitor sender behavior. When you consistently send messages to invalid or outdated addresses, your bounce rate spikes.
And the algorithm notices?
Oh, it definitely notices. Your domain deliverability drops. Your reputation as a sender gets completely trashed before your campaign even really starts. It creates this invisible block.
Wow. So even when you finally do email a valid current address for a CFO who genuinely needs your product?
The server still routes you to spam because your historical track record looks like a careless spammer.
That is wild.
Yeah. High quality, constantly verified data isn't just a luxury or a best practice. It is the fundamental mechanical requirement just to reach the inbox.
So meticulously cleaning your data is just the bare minimum to get to the starting line. It just means your paper airplane actually landed on the desk.
Exactly. Getting to the desk is just step one. Step two requires a complete shift in overarching strategy. You have to move from the mechanics of delivery to the psychology of trust.
Which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle from our sources today, the trust-building playbook, or what they call smarter communication.
Right.
So let's say we have that clean data. We have the Swiss Army knife role-based messaging, no marketing fluff. What is the actual strategy moving forward to turn that delivered email into a real relationship?
The core shift is moving away from aggressive short-term selling. You have to lean entirely into trust building. And you have to remember the stakes in this industry.
The stakes are huge.
Right. A bad software choice in retail maybe means a sluggish quarter. A bad software choice in healthcare, that could mean massive compliance violations, compromised patient data, or operational chaos in a literal life or death environment.
So healthcare buyers are inherently cautious because they absolutely have to be.
Exactly. They aren't going to upend their entire hospital's IT infrastructure just because you wrote a really clever subject line. They require proof of credibility long before they take action.
What kind of proof are they looking for?
They want detailed case studies of how you helped a similar hospital. They want to understand broader industry trends. They need genuinely helpful resources that prove you actually understand their highly regulated world.
And they want to see all of this over time, right? Well before they ever agree to book a demo.
Right. The source text talks about smarter communication taking the form of shorter emails, crystal clear messaging, and strategic timing.
It really feels like this entire strategy just boils down to respecting their time.
Respect is the currency of trust here. Smarter communication means recognizing that a healthcare professional's time is their most scarce asset.
Absolutely.
If you send a sprawling 5-paragraph email explaining every feature of your product, you are demanding a massive cognitive load from them. And you haven't earned the right to do that yet.
But a short, clear email that offers a helpful resource like, say, a concise white paper on upcoming HIPAA changes asks for very little time but provides high value. Think about how you buy things for your own life or work. Do you want to be rushed into a demo? Or do you want proof that the person selling to you actually understands your world?
You want to feel safe making the decision. You want to know they are a partner, not just a vendor trying to hit a quota.
Which is why success means prioritizing long-term relationship building rather than chasing a quick transactional response. But, you know, that raises a tough question for sales teams driven by strict monthly quotas. Can they afford to be patient?
They have to be. Because in healthcare, a slow no is often just a not yet.
A slow no is a not yet. I love that. It totally reframes the entire timeline of a campaign.
Changes how you measure success. Maybe that clinical manager doesn't have the budget this quarter. Or the hospital is in the middle of a massive merger and can't adopt new tools for 6 months.
Right.
If you continue to provide value quietly and respectfully over those 6 months sending relevant case studies without demanding a meeting, you build deep trust. But if you try to rush that cautious buyer and get aggressive because you need to hit a metric by Friday,
you destroy that trust permanently. You become the guy with the megaphone in the ER again.
Exactly.
So, what does this all mean? If we pull all these threads together from today's sources, the ultimate takeaway is pretty clear. Successful healthcare marketing is no longer about the sheer volume of emails you can blast out into the void.
The batch and blast era is completely over.
It is entirely about smarter, meaningful communication. It is about beating the algorithms with pristine data, respecting the buyer's incredibly limited time, and actually attempting to solve their real-world administrative or clinical challenges.
It's a fundamental evolution.
Yeah.
You have to move from being a vendor who sells to a trusted partner who solves. You need the technical discipline for clean data, the empathy for role-based relevance, and immense strategic patience.
Which leaves us with a really fascinating thought to end on today. Looking at where this industry is heading, if highly educated, cautious healthcare buyers are actively demanding case studies and genuinely helpful resources over traditional sales pitches, will the future of B2B healthcare marketing eventually stop looking like marketing altogether and start looking more like independent, peer-reviewed journalism?
That is a wild thought, but the trajectory definitely points to a massive convergence. The traditional pitch is losing all its power.
Right. It really makes you wonder if 10 years from now, a successful marketing team in this space won't look anything like an ad agency. They might just look like a team of clinical researchers.
The lines between objective education and sales are permanently blurring. And the companies that realize that first, the ones who focus on educating rather than just selling, are the ones who are going to win.
And they'll be the only ones who survive the storm of the modern inbox. So the next time you are preparing to hit send on a massive outreach campaign, take a step back and ask yourself, are you offering real role-based value and respecting the chaotic environment you are entering? Or are you just launching another paper airplane into a hurricane, hoping for a miracle?
Definitely something to think about.
For sure. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you all next time.